We're live.
We are live. Hello, hello, hello. We are live. How are we doing?
I'm all right. How you doing, Mr. West Coast? Senor Aaron?
It's been a day, so this will be good because we're going to hang out, chat, movie, TV, whatever, and then we're going to have some whiskey.
No, just one show and one drink. That's it. Shall I run the intro?
Yeah, run the intro and then we'll get rolling.
All right, cool. Let's do that.
Welcome to One Show, One Drink, part of the What We Watch When We Drink podcast from the Booze Dancing Entertainment Network, where we take one show or film and pair it with one boozy beverage. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com, and if you have any questions, comments, show or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Was that semi-professional enough for you?
That was semi-professional. It worked really well for me, yes. Let's see. This is the Booze Dancing Entertainment Network, and we are live. This is 2 weeks in a row we've been live. We never do this, and now we've done it twice in a row. It's crazy.
Isn't it, though?
It is. And you said we were live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, boozedancing.com. If you probably put your head outside, you probably look at the sky. We might be up there too. We are reaching everywhere. This is the show that is taking America by storm. One show, one drink. I'm not even sure what episode number this is. And we are part of the
doesn't matter, does it?
Part of the What We Watch When We Drink podcast, your unofficial podcast of the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial, which ended today.
Did it end today?
And
what was the verdict? Did. Are they deliberating?
It's over. He won, and he won, I believe, $8 million in a settlement, and something like $2 million in punitive damages. But the judge knocked that down to some smaller amount. So there you go, Johnny Depp, winner. He's a winner. Winner, chicken dinner.
Would it be wrong if I said I don't care? Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. Anyway.
We should add that this will be ultimately turned into a podcast for What We Watch When We Drink, and you can listen to it, download it on your favorite device, and listen when you want. So tonight we one show, one drink. We actually do one show or movie, and we drink around it. And what is our one show tonight?
We are doing L.A. Confidential.
The movie.
The movie.
Not the cartoon. Not the anime.
No.
Not the docuseries.
Not even the book.
The book by
James Ellroy.
James Ellroy.
James Ellroy. He also wrote The Black Dahlia and American Tabloid and The Cold 10,000, The Cold 6,000. I forget one of those. And many, 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 many more books. Now, I have the DVD and I was actually, poking around today and I looked on the inside and you know how they usually have like a critic's blurb?
Yep.
Gene Shalit of the Today Show on NBC TV says...
That was my Gene Shalit impression. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Okay. Is he that is he that unintelligible?
He was. I thought so. Because of all the hair in his face.
I get it. So what he says, one quick quote, a rare and rattling detective story, a brilliant blend of booze, bribes, and broads.
Well, that pretty much sums it up. So good night. Drive safely, everyone.
That's it. That's the movie.
Yes.
That's the movie in a nutshell.
That's it.
And one more quote, actually.
Yes, sir.
James Ellroy on the book. It was a book for the whole family. If the name of your family was the Manson family. That's how he describes his book.
That's pretty funny.
He is. He's a character.
I haven't read much of his stuff. But what I always liked about him is he's an L.A. writer, right? This is a lot of Los Angeles in his stuff. And this is an L.A. book, book and movie, L.A. Confidential. L.A., by the way, stands for Los Angeles for our newer viewers.
Los Angeles. You mean for those that have been living under a rock for the last...
Under Eagle Rock, which is not too far from here in the L.A. area.
Way to tie it in.
I try to. It's all about non sequiturs. We are going to be drinking as well. And tonight we are going to feature some oldies, antiques, ancient.
We prefer vintage.
Vintage, also known as vintage. Two old releases from the Lost Spirits Distillery, which originally opened in the Northern California Central Coast area. We have two whiskeys we're going to try from them. We can't get them anymore. So there you go. And I guess the connection sort of was that... Lost Spirits moved from up north to Los Angeles a number of years ago and actually has moved to Las Vegas since then, but is coming back to LA if all goes well, and nice. To open another facility.
You went to the LA facility, correct?
I was to both of their LA facilities. Brian Davis is the Willy Wonka of distillery owners, and it's part distillery, part Disneyland, the trip down the Jungle River. What's that?
Oh, the Jungle Cruise?
Jungle Cruise. It's a little of everything and all wrapped into one, and it's crazy. And I hear the one in the Las Vegas distillery is just as wacky and fun as
hey.
Well.
Hey. Guess who's in the waiting? Guess who's in the lobby?
Bob Hope?
No, better than Bob Hope.
Mitch Kumpstein?
I don't know him.
you had to see Caddyshack.
Okay. But you know why he's better than Bob Hope? He's actually alive.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, but Bob Hope would just walk in on shows like this. You know, he'd come in for a cameo. Hey, everybody, watch my USO show. Hey, it's Bob Hope.
Better than Bob Hope. Hello, Mikey.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I'm a few minutes late.
That's all right.
The Beck concert ran late.
Oh, the Beck concert.
They had a drum solo that went 5 minutes.
What'd they get, Gene Krupa?
Unnecessary. Unnecessary.
Another dead person. We just have them all tonight. We're getting them all.
I was going to say someone else, but I didn't want to make you cry. So.
He's right there.
I wasn't going to go there.
And you did.
I wasn't going to go
and
there.
And you did.
That's okay. Those are like 10-minute solos. How are we, Mike?
Super-de-duper.
Super-de-duper.
Had a baseball playoff game and then a 8th grade concert. Oh, they're action-packed. Rollercoaster ride of excitement.
Things are rocking and rolling in Pennsylvania tonight. New Jersey, I'm sorry. They are rocking and rolling.
Joy of parenthood.
Yes.
It is. Joy of parenthood.
It never ends.
It took me an hour to get from the Tuxedo place back to the house. Sitting in traffic, sitting at the park. Whatever. Because they got the prom tomorrow night. Our eldest had their proms.
How sweet.
Yeah, I picked the Tux up yesterday.
Look at you getting ahead of the game.
Are we doing any chaperoning?
No.
No.
That was quick. No,
they're on their own. They're on their own.
Here's $5. Have a good time, buddy.
So we were talking about whiskey, and we've got two from Lost Spirits. We've got the Umami, American peated single malt, and then we have the Seascape, American peated single malt. That is, what is it now? Oh, it's a rum cask, a Navy rum cask. So where do you want to go?
I don't care. You guys pick one.
Dear God, one's 59%, one's 65%.
Ow.
Let's do the soft one.
We'll start with 5. Let's go with the whiskey with a 5.
Let's do the easy drinking one.
Yes.
Are these always overproofed from them?
Yeah, yes. I don't think they've made anything.
Not overproof, but at a high
proof. I think everything they've ever made is above 50 or above. Before you came on, Mike, we were looking around, or before we came on tonight, we were looking to see if we could figure out when this came out. I think 2014-ish or not, I believe, is when.
Do they actually make this themselves?
Made, no longer available. Yeah, they made it themselves. This was made at their original facility up in Salinas, California, which I believe had to close down because they had a fire.
Apparently, this stuff is flammable.
Yeah, we'll figure. 59% distilled from malt mash, stored under 4 years in reused cooperage, sherry-seasoned French oak, peat smoked barley fermented in salt water. I think that's all I can tell you about it. And did I say 59?
I wonder where they get the peat.
So at the time, I believe they were getting it from the California Delta, which I don't know that it was completely legal.
Hey, shall we?
So they were sending a guy in a truck. Hey, go grab some peat.
I know what you're gonna say, Ange. Shall we?
Shall Ka-ching. We? Clink, clink, gentlemen. Clink. Cheers.
All right.
We'll edit that so they all sync up. Right?
That's right.
No, not at all. Not at all. We have to keep our semi-professional status intact.
I have not visited either of these in quite a while.
There is so much going on with the nose here.
Yep.
It is like an assault, but in a good way.
Ooh, I like the way that smells.
You get the brine, you get the peat, you get like a furniture polish or like a lacquer. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff there. What am I not getting out of this?
There's like a light, like there's, menthol.
There's like a menthol.
Light herbal note on this.
Yeah, I was thinking that was like the furniture polish, but now you mentioned it, it's more like a menthol, yeah.
You know, it's like a what do you want to call it? A liniment. Like a good rub down.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yes.
You know, my neck's a little sore. I'm gonna take a little bit of this right now. I'm gonna rub it on my neck.
There's a little bit of a Vicks VapoRub going on here.
I'm gonna put a little splash right now. I'm doing it right now. I just put a little bit of my hand. I'm reaching in.
Can't hurt.
Look at that. Cures it. Look at that. Perfect.
Feel better?
This is your Gina Tay, your afterband splash.
This is my Gina Tay.
You can move your shoulder now. You can go back to playing the piano.
Oh, look at that. No, I can go back to pitching. I can go back to pitching.
Will I be able to play the piano?
You play before
the piano.
Hello.
All right, I'm going in for a taste. Ooh, I like it.
Oh, that's a lot of peat.
Ooh, that's nice though.
That's a lot of peat.
I like it. I think I've reviewed this before. I have a feeling you sent me some of this before, and I tried it. It was quite nice.
That's a clam bake. That's a
it
clam
is a clam bake.
That's a clam bake.
So, and it's from California. So do you get like an F. Funicello and Frankie it's Avalon? It's a
beach blanket bingo.
It's a beach blanket bingo. Can we get Buster Keaton to like walk around and, you know, be on the beach?
Harvey, what's the guy with the finger?
I don't know.
Shoot.
Who's the guy with the finger?
The guy, the leather jacket guy.
I know what you mean. I can't think of his name though.
His name was Harvey something.
Been a long time.
So this is called Umami, right?
Umami, and it's got some umami.
Yes, it's savory. It's got there's some savory. There's a lot going on here. There's a little smokiness or saltiness. There's a tad of sweetness.
It's a little oily.
Yeah, definitely oily. Yeah, and it's interesting because I would think it's, you know, it's been sitting here for a while, and I would think it might be a little bit oxidized. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it tastes like originally, but I don't think it's aged badly.
No, not at all.
I think it's like a young Kahlua.
You're right.
Which is shocking that we're able to capture that kind of quality.
The second sip I had actually had that punchy sweetness. Yeah, that's really
a little sweet, a little briny, the heavy peat flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's very...
I hate you, by the way.
It's very meaty. It's very...
It's nice. It's very umami.
Wow. Mm. Oh, I'm glad this is a good one to revisit. Hey, that's great. Okay, we talked a little whiskey. Let's get into our show because we're not going to do this forever tonight.
We're not?
Because people have to get on to Entertainment Tonight to find out about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. It's really critical. So we don't want to keep them from that.
The verdict's in.
Okay, so LA Confidential. Who wants to start?
Do you want me to read the synopsis real quick?
Sure.
Okay, so three policemen, each with his own motives and obsessions, tackle the corruption surrounding an unsolved murder at a downtown Los Angeles coffee shop in the early 1950s. Detective Lieutenant Exley, played by Guy Pearce, the son of a murdered detective, is out to avenge his father's killing. The ex-partner of Officer White, implicated in a scandal ruled out by Exley, was one of the victims. Sergeant Vincennes feeds classified information to a tabloid magazine. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, what's going on here.
I have to say, even listening to that, I was thoroughly confused by the story.
Right?
Yeah, it was beyond me. And it didn't matter because for me, it was mostly about the performances, the people. And I was completely lost by the who did what. It didn't matter. I just liked everyone's seeing all these faces. It was great. And this is, what year was this? 97?
So this was released September 19th, 1997.
97, yeah. So it's interesting seeing all these people, what are we talking about, 25 years ago? 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, now it's exactly, like, we're almost at the 25th anniversary of this.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
Rolo Tomasi.
That's going to be my next car. I'm going to get a Rolo Tomasi.
Now, Mike, did you get to watch it?
Again? No, I didn't get a chance to watch it again. I've seen it so many times.
Oh,
it's
okay.
One of those ones, when it comes on, you know, along with always watching Armageddon, I always watch LA Confidential.
Oh, I get sucked in every single time.
Just the quotes in it are so good.
Oh, it's like, so good. Oh,
that's a whore cut to look like Helena Turner. No,
it's Helena Turner.
Johnny Stampinato.
There's a lot to parse here. And I don't remember when I saw it first. I might have saw it just in the theater. I don't remember watching it anytime recently on TV. So it was interesting to go back to it.
I can't believe it's 25 years.
I can't either.
It just doesn't seem like it's that long ago.
It feels like yesterday. And I remember where I saw it. I remember who I saw it with. Yeah, I mean, I saw it twice in the theater. Yeah.
I found it a little bit difficult with Kevin Spacey.
Oh, well, now.
Yeah, right now. Watching, I don't know that I would seek out a Kevin Spacey movie. And there's somebody else in there that was a little weird to watch. I know.
Russell Crowe?
Yeah, because I'm not a big Russell Crowe fan. But their performances were great. And watching Kim Basinger, you know, read the newspaper would be great with you for me.
Is that where you get the newspaper? You're hoping that she'll come by and read it to you?
I'm hoping. Just read it to me, Kim. Yes, that'd be great. That's a lot of red lipstick, by the way, in that movie. I can't imagine what they spent on red lipstick in that movie.
Yeah.
Budget was high.
Well, I'll tell you, the budget was about $35 million.
And 34 of it was on...
red lipstick?
I did not remember Danny DeVito's role as much as as big as it was. He was really good. He was kind of being Danny DeVito. He wasn't like, he didn't put on a character. He was just, it was Danny DeVito. It was really good. He's playing himself.
Oh, he was great.
That's a really good cast.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it's spectacular.
It's an incredible cast.
Yeah.
Oh, and what's James Cromwell?
James Cromwell, yes.
And at the time, were any of these guys stars?
Other than Kim Basinger and what's his name? And Kevin Spacey? No.
And I don't know that Kevin Spacey was a star.
Yeah, but I don't know that you'd say he was a star at that.
Wow. Did he was he already in The Usual Suspects? Was he in Seven already at that point?
I don't know. 97, maybe. I don't know. Probably.
I think he was the one big star. Because even if you look at the box, you know, it's Kim Basinger. But then you've got the largest face on the box is second largest face on the box. Is Kevin Spacey, and he gets top billing. So
Curtis Hanson, I have a couple little factoids here too. Writer and director, longtime.
He's an LA guy.
LA guy, big fan of James Ellroy. He actually had Kevin Spacey on his wish list for something for years, and he'd been trying to get him in something. And after Spacey won an Oscar for The Usual Suspects. Hanson called him and said, I think I've got a role for you, and I think you're not going to say no to this time. So that's how he got him in there. And Spacey's character is based on, anyone want to take a guess?
Oh, I mean, I did my little research.
Dean Martin.
Well, it wasn't based on Dean Martin. He just kind of said, this is the vibe you're going
for. Yeah, the vibe, yes.
What a Dean Martin vibe. Yeah.
Right, yep. That's what you want. You know, the king of cool.
The king of cool.
Always got the line, always with the gals.
Yep.
So the cast is Kevin Spacey as Detective Jack Vincennes. Russell Crowe as Bud White, Guy Pearce as Ed Exley, James Cromwell as Dudley Smith, Kim Basinger as Lynn Bracken, Danny DeVito as Sid Hutchins, and David Strathairn as Pierce Patchett.
So where is Strathairn? I've seen him before a million times, I'm sure. He looks so familiar. Where have I seen him before?
You've seen Eight Men Out?
Oh, that's right. He's in that. He's one of the ball players, right?
And he's in Matewan. You know, there's a lot of movies
he's right. in. Right. He's in that. He's also in The Firm. He plays Tom Cruise's brother.
Ah.
So he's a very good actor. There's a guy from Jersey, John Sayles, and him and Strathairn did a whole lot of movies together.
Yeah.
And, John Sayles directed Matewan, and he directed Eight Men Out.
Yep.
And a whole bunch of others. So they have a pretty long relationship.
And this movie came out the same year as Titanic.
Yep. I have the Oscars up here
Titanic
now.
Wins, yeah. Right? And this comes...
Correct.
So this one won two Oscars. Where in another year it might have won all nine it was nominated for.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, yeah. You know, dumb luck.
So the five best picture winners, the five best picture nominees were Titanic, As Good As It Gets, The Full Monty, Good Will Hunting, and L.A. Confidential.
Wow. That's a star-studded list.
Yeah. And a lot of it were like kind of small pictures though.
Full Monty is small.
Yeah. The Full Monty is a very small picture. Good Will Hunting, I mean, that was what the Affleck and
Affleck
and Matt Damon Oscar for best original screenplay.
Yep.
And what's interesting is that Kim Basinger wins for LA Confidential, and she beats Minnie Driver in Good Will Hunting, Julianne Moore in Boogie Nights, and the sentimental favorite Gloria Stewart in Titanic.
Huh.
Wow.
Best supporting actress.
I think she deserved it.
She was pretty great.
Not that she didn't deserve it, but they were always just like, oh, well, Gloria Stewart, she's 85 at the time.
Give to her.
Like, this will be the payback. We'll give her one.
Yeah.
Or, you know, L.A. Confidential was a great movie. Boogie Nights was also a great movie. Good Will Hunting, you know, was a sentimental movie. People love that where, you know, you're up against that. Any one of those could have been a deserving winner, and she wound up winning. And that's great for her. Not so great for the others, but it's just amazing that, like, that there was so deep that year. Where other years you look at it and you're like, yeah, no, you're going to win that. There's other people, you know, they did a great job, but no, their movie wasn't as big.
So the budget for this was $35 million. Opening weekend, it pulled in $5.2 million. And the gross box office worldwide was $126
million. Wow.
So it made some money.
It did.
It's a big movie.
It didn't do Titanic money, but it made some money.
That's good.
And they say you have to double the budget to break even.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the other, you know, it's $35 million movie. The other 35 is for
advertising, promotion,
all that stuff. So,
right.
So you did better than, you know, almost twice the combined total.
Plus the back end.
That's pretty
good.
Don't
forget the back end.
I've been told I am the back end.
we established this in the last podcast.
Yes.
You're the back end of the horse. Is that what it is?
Yes.
The business end.
That's when I was told it.
The business end.
Is this...
what kind of business are you doing there, pal?
Hey now. Is this the Guy Pearce apex?
I don't know if it's his apex, but this was definitely his breakout role, at least in the States.
And then after this, he's in Memento?
Right. Yeah, Memento's after this.
And that might have been his apex. I don't know.
Yeah, he was in, what's it called? Wasn't he? Wasn't he in Mayor of Easttown last year?
Oh, yeah. But that's a small role compared
to... No, I know, but it was small roles. Yeah, and he's done some other stuff. I think he probably did more stuff back in Australia.
Well, and I think he also is somebody who can be choosy with his stuff because, you know, he can be, you know.
Right.
He's in the Hurt Locker. He's in the King's Speech. He's in Prometheus. He's in an Alien movie. He's in an Iron Man movie. And I'm like, sure, I'll work when I want to.
Yeah.
I don't have to work every day.
Yeah.
And he's probably involved in, you know, some theater or some small television work or something just to do something else.
I like it. It takes the 1930s and 40s police drama movies that were always in black and white and, you know, through a different lens and better technology, of course, it looks better.
Well, this takes place in the 50s.
I know, but it's made in the 90s. And it's just updated that genre 50 years later. Because, you know, the acting is pretty stiff back in the 30s and 40s, and it's a little not really over the top, but it's not as cool. We thought it was cool, but maybe it's not so cool anymore. This was actually pretty cool, right? This is current movie making. Yeah, I like it.
I love everything about this movie. Everything from, like, the score to, like, the opening sequence with Danny DeVito just doing the narration. Just everything. I mean, the score, Jerry Goldsmith has done some, I think he did Chinatown.
He's huge.
He's done a lot of stuff. It's just fantastic. It's just really fantastic. The photography, some of the shots I'm looking at, like, yeah, I was actually like paying attention and just watching the camera movement in some of them. Like there's the one scene when Bud White goes to interview Pierce Patchett for the first time around and the way they just kind of shoot him from behind, just walking up to the house. And then the camera goes up and it shows you, you know, like overhead shot. And then you see, what's his name, David Strathairn, like playing golf on his back lawn. Just the way they did that, it's just one continuous shot. It was just really, really cool the way they did it.
I think this movie speaks to a bit of a love affair with Los Angeles and Southern California. And a lot of the...
And a certain time. I think it's a certain
time. At a certain time, yes.
Mystique.
Yeah, the mystique of California, the mystique of Southern California, the mystique of Los Angeles. And it plays that up. You know, there's the beauty of Hollywood. I mean, the gritty side too, but it really does well in the cinematography of the green, the lushness, the bright lights, Hollywood. It does that so well, you know, and the golden light in the background. It's done really well in that way.
Oh, and Jerry Goldsmith, 18 Academy Award nominations.
Loser.
Just in case you're wondering what he's done. Only 18 Academy Awards.
Well deserved.
One win, but 18 Academy
Awards. What did he win for?
The Omen.
The Omen? That's probably funny.
He scored five of the Star Trek movies, three Rambo movies, Planet of the Apes, Patton, Chinatown, Alien, Poltergeist, Gremlins, Hoosiers, Total Recall, LA Confidential, and The Mummy.
The Mummy.
Well, I mean, he's got a hell of a cast. Now, the screenplay was written by Curtis Hanson and Brian Helgeland. So the two Academy Awards this movie won was Kim Basinger as Best Supporting Actress and Best Adapted, I guess, Adapted Screenplay. Is that what it would be? Or from another source?
Yeah, Adapted Screenplay, yeah.
Yeah, so it was...
Because it's from the book.
Right. So Hanson and Helgeland got an Oscar for that. And Helgeland went on, I think he did A Knight's Tale afterwards.
Oh, wow.
I think he wrote and directed that. So I don't know what else he's done after that, but I know A Knight's Tale was definitely his claim to fame after L.A. Confidential.
He also wrote 42.
Oh,
Jackie Robinson. Jack Robinson.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
Okay.
That was a good movie with the guy who passed away.
Chadwick Boseman.
Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
And he did Mystic River.
Did he write the script for that?
He wrote the screenplay for that too.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
I didn't either. I'm just, you know.
You're Googling?
I'm wikiing.
You're wikiing? You know what you are? You're wacky. That's what you are. You're wacky.
Should we move on to another whiskey?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
If we must.
We must.
You want to do the other one? What's the other one? Seascape?
Seascape 2.
How is this different than the Umami?
Let me read that to you.
6% ABV, that's how.
Yeah.
We kicked it up a notch.
Let's see here. What do we got? I'm reading from the bottle. Handmade in a nearly extinct style of oak pot still, fermented and distilled from 100% California malted barley, smoked at our distillery with coarse-cut Canadian peat. Ingredients, peat, smoked malted barley, and water. And I don't believe it's finished anything. I can't read under the label. Stored under 4 years in reused cooperage, late something I can't read. Oh, you're right. In our own Navy rum cask. Their Navy rum cask is just potent. Now, something I'll show you guys, if you can see the bottle.
Bits? Got some bits?
Well, it's not bits. It's just it's just all the like milkiness sediment that's on the bottom. You can see this black ring.
That's not like barrel char or anything like that?
Well, I think it's everything goes away. It's all just settled to the bottom. So it's really cloudy. So I'm obviously not shell filtered by any means.
I'm thinking it's just love. It's that's what's in the bottle. Just love.
Lots of love.
Now this smells decidedly different than the umami. I'm getting more of like the antiseptic.
I'll tell you one thing. It's got a lot of vapors.
Varnish. Yeah, get a lot more of that off the top.
It's hard to get my nose in there because it's just kind of like
Now this one, as you can see, two-thirds gone. So I would think this would be slightly oxidized. We'll see.
How would you keep the oxidation from occurring on your bottles?
Put it in a smaller bottle.
Put them in smaller bottles.
If you wax dip them or keep condensing the bottles?
The bottles. I guess you could probably seal the bottle better, wax it.
If you wax them or something. Otherwise, and that's just too much work. Just
moving the bottle smaller. I probably should have done all that, but no. I'm lazy.
Bah.
No, I'm not saying you've done anything wrong. I'm just
crazy. I think there are.
But there are people that do that.
People talk about that all the time. Yeah, they talk about that all the time, about how it oxidized. And, you know, we typically don't have anything that lasts long enough to oxidize, do we? Do we, Inch?
No.
That's funny.
After the drag you brought out the other night.
Was it like a third of a bottle of Macallan? I said it's got to go. Finish it.
Definitely more vapory.
Yeah. It's hard to nose because there's just so much alcohol coming off it.
Less going on than the umami on the
nose. On the nose.
It's just as viscous. It's really thick on the glass.
Did you go in?
But I think I missed a little of the peat and a little bit of the salt. I'm not getting the brine on the nose.
On the nose, no.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm going in for a taste.
Careful.
You know what? That's really nice. That hot, huh? No, come on.
I may have chewed my whiskey for too long. That's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Not much of a finish, but the mouthfeel is fantastic.
I think it's pretty dry, at least on the first shot.
It is dry. There's a little sweetness, but not like a sugary sweetness, if that makes any sense whatsoever. It's not like, you know, really, really sweet, but there is a little bit there. It's not as peaty as the other one.
No, I get more of the brininess on this one, though.
But it probably is as peaty as the other one, right?
It probably is. I don't know.
It's probably the same whiskey. They just barreled it in the Navy rum.
Probably. Yeah, it's maybe not the same run, but
not the same mash, not the same day. What? But
I was wondering about this. I did not notice this on the label. On the umami, doesn't say this anywhere. But on the Seascape, are you sitting down? 55 ppm.
Huh.
That's Ardbeg.
I hate
now,
you both.
I don't. That's funny. I don't get that though with this.
No, neither do I.
No. It doesn't. To me, it doesn't seem peatier or a big difference of peat from the first one. And the first one I thought was like a clam bake. It tastes like, you know, you're pulling someone off the grill.
No,
it's nice.
I probably shouldn't have said that because now I'm sort of my brain's thinking it. I get a little
messing
bit
with your head.
Messing with my head, which is pretty easy. I do get a little bit of peat on the nose. I don't know that I had it much on the palate.
They're both really nice. I think I like the umami a little bit better.
I think I do too.
I think there's a little more complexity to it.
Yeah.
A little bigger flavor profile or wider flavor profile. But this is good.
I like it. I like them both.
I do too.
They're fun.
The umami.
No, the umami's got, like you said, a little more depth. And it definitely does border on, it does kind of dip its toe into Kalila territory.
Yeah.
But I like them both. I mean, the Seascape for 65, the Seascape is it packs a punch.
It's,
and it packs a lot of flavor.
It's almost too easy drinking.
I know. It's frightening, isn't it?
So there's a 68%.
No, rum. Just stop now.
And it's the same way. It's the same thing.
Which one was one was like the Jamaica rum? One was like the... What was it? One was like the old Navy rum or something?
I'm going to go off camera for just a half a second. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Half a second? Okay.
Let's talk amongst yourselves.
talk amongst ourselves. So were you confused by the plot of L.A. Confidential?
So that Aaron guy, I can't stand him.
And he can't follow a plot.
He's just the worst.
How could you not follow
him? He may be dumb. He may just be dumb.
Maybe.
Oh, hey, buddy. Hey.
Hi, guys. Pal. We're back. We're back.
Hey. I thought there were some twists that didn't need to be twists, and I thought they killed a lot of people
in L.A. Confidential. In the movie? Wow.
Yeah.
So this is the 55% Navy rum.
Oh, there you go.
55. And this is the 68% Navy rum. Monterey, California. So these were made all up in Salinas. Yep, I was right.
So where are they getting the rum bits? Are they using sugarcane or are they using...
Ingredients. Baking...
Blackstrap molasses.
Baking grade molasses, evaporated sugarcane juice, and water.
Yeah.
Probably the same on this.
Oh, sugarcane juice. Okay.
Yep.
So you're a little bit of both.
And there's then also we have a Jamaican one. This was also back in the up in Northern California days, I believe. And same thing, molasses, water, and yeast, 49.7 Jamaican rum.
Boy, they were both really good whiskeys.
They were.
I am really glad we went to revisit these things because they are still good. All right, so where were we? We're talking a lot L.A. Confidential.
So tell me, what confused you about the plot? I mean, I'm not going to say it's not convoluted, but there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. I don't know. It was just so too much for me, but it didn't matter to me, and I couldn't.
Well, were you watching a hockey game while you were watching the movie?
No, I did watch it in two chunks. I think in two chunks.
Okay.
And some of these things, it doesn't matter to me. The storytelling is critical, of course, but the people are on screen are actually more important to me, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's about the story.
It is.
I mean, if you watch any show, it's going to be so convoluted. It's like, does it even matter at this point?
Yes. If it felt, I don't know, you guys know this movie better than I do. So it felt a little convoluted. And I had this discussion recently with a friend of mine. It's really hard for me to watch Kevin Spacey now. And I was a big Kevin Spacey fan. And I had a discussion with a friend of mine recently. We were talking about music and whether or not we can still like Roger Waters, because we're relatively pro-Israel guys, and he's an anti-Israel guy. And can we still like Roger Waters and his music and Pink Floyd? And both of us, we really can't like him as much. We don't seek out that music anymore because of his politics. And it's hard to watch Kevin Spacey. I want to revisit Wise Guy. That was like one of his breakout roles. And he was so great in it as a whacked off, wacky mafia or, you know, organized crime guy. But I don't know. I want to see him again. You know, I loved him in House of Cards, and I don't know.
I'll tell you one thing. The movie compared to the book, the movie is like a microcosm of the book. I mean, the book is huge and sprawling. Yeah. And they made some pretty significant changes. I don't really care because I read the book after I watched the movie because I was kind of curious. So it's not like, you know, I went back, but the book is like, how many pages? The book is like 500 pages.
Jeez.
And according to something I read from Elroy, he said there were like 8 storylines going on in the book and they condensed it down to 3. So they kind of, they narrowed the focus.
It would be too long a movie.
Yeah.
All the storylines.
I mean, like all his books are like that. They're big, they're sprawling.
He's also quite descriptive. So the book's long because he's got to paint the picture.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But with the movie, somebody painted the picture for you. Yeah. You know, you don't need that. You can see the clothes, you see the lighting, you see everything else.
He is one of the most unique writers, though. And his style has gotten more sparse and more like, it's like machine gun, the way his sentences come out. And you have to kind of get into the rhythm reading his stories because it just goes so quick. It's like real staccato.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and he doesn't seem to be as prolific as some of the other writers.
No, I don't think he needs to be anymore.
because I think he really took time to write each
book. Yeah.
Where some of these guys, once they get a big name, they got the ghostwriter working with them and they just keep cranking. And
right.
I was like, this isn't anything like the original books. What are you doing?
But what's neat about the book is the book, he takes like the 3 perspectives of the main characters and he kind of did the same with the movie. So it's, you know, it's Exley and Bud White and Jack Vincennes, and they're kind of, they each get a chapter in the book and it kind of keeps going through their piece and then it kind of all ties together. It's really interesting the way he does it, like these multiple perspectives in the book.
He's one of those guys, as an LA person, you really get a sense of LA because he's talking about specific places.
Oh,
very,
yeah.
Very specific, you know, street corners down to the, you know, mailbox. And it really connects you to the place you live in. I like those. He's not making up names. It really is Fairfax Boulevard. It really is,
right.
You know, the Hollywood sign. And that it makes it fun. We talked about this with Swingers too, how those are real places in LA, right?
Yep.
That's not a set. Yeah. Those aren't sets. And a lot of this movie is in real places in Los Angeles too, which is fun. Those are little Easter eggs for people who may or may not know the Formosa Cafe, famous bar.
Right.
Yep.
What they said, I was looking at the behind the scenes and on the DVD. So he said his pitch was that he didn't like show anyone the script. So he went to Arnold Milchan, was the producer of the movie, and he basically didn't show him the script. He had like all these old posters, like postcards from Los Angeles, and like photos and stuff from like Confidential magazine. I think it's what it was, one of those tabloid magazines, newspaper clippings, all this stuff. And he just kind of set the stage for what he envisioned the story to be. And the guy was like, I don't need to see the script. You got it all in your head. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And he just kind of went from there. And he pitched it the same way to everybody. So Kevin Spacey and, you know, and everybody that he tried to talk to about the movie. That's how he pitched it.
It's that dime store novel era that's taken up many, many notches into good storytelling and great acting, and where it all comes together. It really is awesome, because you've got this crime drama motif in a great setting with great performances by such an amazing cast. Just amazing. Yeah. I liked it.
And there's really no weak link.
This no.
It's like the 27 Yankees.
No. I mean,
no.
Who's the worst guy out here? He's a great actor.
I mean, James Cromwell doesn't really get top billing, but he was tremendous.
He is.
He was just so good.
David Strathairn in the little part he's in, and Ron Rifkin playing
Ron Rifkin, the DA. Yeah, he's good.
Paul Guilfoyle playing Mickey Cohen. I mean, everybody in this, you're like, each one of these guys is really good in the role they play.
The partner who gets the cop that gets killed, the partner
Stenslin,
that guy. Stenslin. Yeah, he's a B actor who I don't know who he is, and he just nails it.
And you find him to be as equally unlikable as he should be.
Yes.
Yep.
Most definitely.
Well, I mean, everything, like the interrogation scenes where they're messing with the mics
and
they're letting the other guys in the other rooms listen in
on
what's going on and who's ratting who out.
Funny you said that, because one of the more uncomfortable parts of it is the ugly truth behind the era. Endemic racism and old-time policing, I guess you could call it.
What's a little scandal?
Yeah, or, you know, playing around with a microphone, or, you know, beating somebody to death to get a confession. And Los Angeles wasn't immune to that. That was real stuff, like in most of America.
Yeah, you know, my love for all things crime and cop and all this kind of stuff. You know, like that, what was it? We Own This City? Not to go off topic with the shows.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was 3 years ago when those cops got indicted, and that was all kinds of thieving going on.
Yep.
You know, whether it's just, you know, robbing from drug dealers, reselling the drugs, doing all this crazy stuff. And that wasn't that long ago. So how much has really changed in the last 50 years, 70 years, I should say.
And L.A. at the time this came out, they had that ramp scandal.
Yep.
Isn't that what the big thing was in L.A.?
There,
so, you know, you basically picked this movie and they were undergoing a current investigation of their whole police force.
And we are under one LA and the surrounding
again,
always,
right?
Always. It's just never ending. Yeah. And the sheriff, county sheriff's being looked at, and it's never ending. And is it said in the movie, or is it, I did this, read this somewhere, that LA has the largest police force in America? Is that right?
Really?
Was that in?
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't
to
know.
Serve and protect. That's their motto, which has been kind of been thrown around in the news lately.
To serve and profit. Wait, protect. I meant protect. What did I say?
Funny you said profit. We were talking about Kevin Spacey and Wise Guy. His character's name was Mel Profit.
Okay.
Mel Profit. Yeah. And the creator of that show was Stephen J. Cannell, who did everything.
Made everything.
He was a writer on Ironside, editor on Adam 12, Chase, Columbo, Rockford Files. He co-created it.
Rockford Files was the one I remember.
Beretta, Bow Wow Black Sheep, Great American Hero, 10 Speed and Brown Shoe, A-Team, Hardcastle McCormick, Hunter, Riptide, Stingray, J.J. Starbuck, Wise Guy, 21 Jump Street, talking about our favorite Johnny Depp. It's crazy all the things that guy did. He was Mr. 70s TV.
And I believe dyslexic.
Wow. Really?
So he was able to do all these things because at the end of all of his productions, you would see someone was sitting at a typewriter and they'd pull off a page.
Yeah.
And the page would curl up as their logo. And they said he physically would not be able to do that because
he was dyslexic. Interesting story.
but that was something they
That's a good factoid.
He was able to overcome all that. Yeah.
I was looking at any kind of factoids that might be interesting here. It was really originally intended as a miniseries. When executive producer David Wolpert first read Elroy's novel, he saw the dense, complex story as the perfect fodder for a TV miniseries and was promptly turned down
by
all the major networks at the time.
I think it would have been a great, like, 10-episode, you know, HBO show.
Wasn't it resurrected as going to be a TV show and that didn't happen?
I don't know. I know they were working on, I think, American Tabloid, which is another Elroy book.
In 2003, a television pilot of L.A. Confidential was aired. However, the pilot was not picked up as a running series. The show's main actors would have been Kiefer Sutherland, Josh Hopkins, David Conrad, Pruitt Taylor, Vince, Melissa George, and Eric Roberts. The pilot is a special feature on the two-disc DVD and Blu-ray release of the film.
That was probably going to be like a 100-episode series.
Probably.
Not
yeah.
A finite, you know, BBC, we're going to do 8 episodes and never come back to it again. Which I think is what sells now.
There's more. In 2018, CBS ordered a new pilot based on the novel. The pilot would star Walter Goggins as Vincenzus, Mark Weber as White, Brian J. Smith as Exley, Sarah Jones as Lynn, Alana Arenas as June, and Shea Whigham as Dick Stensland. May of 2018, it was announced the pilot would not be moving forward. So they tried.
I bet if you went to HBO Max, they'd make something in, you know, 8 or 10 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And back out again.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And people would love it.
I think
the problem is I can't get this cast out of my head.
What's the,
I know that's a problem.
What's the HBO thing? True Detective.
Right.
Right. Each year is 2 different.
Yeah. It's a new story.
New detectives. But you could do that with this.
Yeah.
And roll it out.
I am surprised when you said that. I'm surprised that HBO hasn't done that with famous writer of crime novels. And every year is a new novel. Like
yep. You know, and I would say it's too expensive, but how much did they play that what's his name? Martin guy? The guy for Game of Thrones? Is it R.R. Martin? Is that the guy?
George R. Martin.
Yeah.
I mean, how much money they paid him? So it's not a question of money.
All you need is content. And if the public knows it, you're already kind of getting the buy-in already.
Right.
It seems, what do we know? We're not TV executives, are we?
Let's do it. Let's write the script.
Booze dancing, television production, go. Well, boys, we've hit that magic hour.
Final thoughts on the movie, Aaron?
It's an A+. I mean, even with my little issues with a couple actors, it's great. And even though I didn't understand the story, the plot, it doesn't matter. All the individual parts of it are so good, and all the people are so good. It's great.
And I think it holds up over 25 years.
Most definitely. Yeah.
It's not one of these period movies you watch and you're just like, well, that movie stinks.
No.
Like, I can't believe I watched that.
I think period movies hold up more because they're set at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know,
but some of them have like a preachy kind of thing.
Yeah.
They're trying to expose something else or they're kind of ham-fisted with the cast.
Yep. Right.
This cast was so good. The writing was so good. It came from such a great source.
Yep.
I mean, everything about it like checks every box for me.
Absolutely.
Like, this is a win.
Yeah. I mean, again, the score, the cinematography, the acting, just everything, just the mood, the way it's shot, there's just the production design, the settings. I mean, I want Pierce Patchett's house. I want that house. That's like, you know, that's like the Hollywood dream house.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, did you ever see Heat? You've seen Heat, right?
Yep.
Do you remember, I can't think of the one actor's name, the guy who was like the Bond guy that with the bearer bonds who was going to trade him? I can't think of David Fichter is his name, I think, the actor. But he's got this house, you know, Hollywood Hills, classic Hollywood Hills house.
Right.
You know, floor-to-ceiling glass windows. It's got the pool. It's got the view of Los Angeles. It's just that whole thing. That Hollywood Hills house is just fantastic. That's just
fantastic. They won't give it to you. They won't leave that house and say, come live here.
I don't have $20 million. So what are you going to do?
20. 50.
50. Okay, I don't have 50.
Whatever.
I don't have one.
Yeah. If you didn't have 20, you don't have
50.
But 20. It's a solid movie. I mean, it's an A for me. It's like one of those that I could watch all the time.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it being on in the background, just sitting down watching it. It's just great.
And it's so well acted. Russell Crowe is such a good guy, bad guy in it, where he beats the wife beater, something fierce.
I mean, his career explodes after this.
And, yeah. And Guy Pearce is so almost a one-dimensional, you know, white and black. There's good, there's evil, there's no in-between. And by the end of the movie, he's realized, maybe there's some good. You know, it's just really well done. You know, Vincennes is throwing everything in. Like the Spacey character, he's phoning it in for years. And he doesn't care. And at the very end, he realizes, well, I got to stand for something. You know, every little piece to it was just so well done.
We did it again. We went live. We drank. We watched a movie. We're happy.
Life is good.
One show, one drink. Another episode coming to you on a podcast forum near you soon.
One of these days.
One of these days.
One of these days.
Once the editors do their job over in Saigon, we farm it all out.
Do we?
Do we, yes. As well as the animation. It's the same place that does the Simpsons animation.
Maybe we should.
Maybe. It might go faster.
We'd have a happier boss.
Exactly.
All right, boys. We did well.
All right, gentlemen.
We'll do this again, live or not live, soon.
All right, man.
Cheers.